Hello, hello, hello. The champ is here. The champ is here. Thank you all so much for joining us today for another absolute fantastic show. Again, this is Champ Franklin, your host, and we are excited about today's show. I'm telling you, like today is like none other. We are on groundbreaking journey, discovering what it means to be intimate. This isn't just another love talk. It is a groundbreaking discovery on what it means to be intimate in the modern era. Where most conversations are superficial, we dive deep, expecting what it means to bring in a fantastic couple, a fantastic relationship. What do we do? And this is our moment right here. And I'm excited to bring you another dynamic show. For some reason, when you're in the right place, I'll tell you this here, right? When you're in the right place and the devil, the enemy, whoever you want to call it, right, gets in the way. But I tell you this here, right? Oh my gosh. We about to do it because again, he is not stopping us from doing great things. And he can't stop us, right? And I'll tell you this here. Oh my gosh. Come on, baby. Come on. Here we go right here. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on. Oh my gosh. What is this thing here? I'm telling you, we are excited for another day. And I'm telling you here, I'm trying to figure this little thing out here. But it's going to be good, right? It's going to be great. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on. I got this thing right here. I got a great... yes. Oh, my God. Man. This here is Intimate Discoveries, Unveiling Connections. And I am your host, Champ Franklin. And I just am excited because when you're determined to be successful, nothing comes up. You find a way to make sure that you are there and on time. And being a champion, being prepared to win is a decision, and that decision is made in the back scenes, not on game day, not in the moment. No, that decision is made years, nights before, and I'm here right now to tell you, the champ is here. Let's go. I'm here. Oh my God! And I got a dynamic guy coming on today. His name is Rico Sharp. And this guy is sharp, I tell you. And he, when he comes on here, you're gonna be surprised and amazed by his story, by his perseverance, and his ability to continue to win. And without further ado, I'm gonna bring Rico over, and we're gonna get started. Come on, Rico. Come on, Rico. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh my gosh. This is amazing. Yes. Yep. We're here. We're here. We're alive. Let's go! Come on, Rico! You are live and in color. We're going down right here, baby. Because I'm a champion. Because I'm a champion. Let me see. I sent the invite. We're here now, baby. Man, when he comes over, it's gonna be dynamic. But I tell you, this is an amazing moment. Again, this is Champ Franklin. I'm not sure what's going on with Rico, but when he comes over, we going live. And we going to get right on into this thing. And so, as you all know, that this is our podcast. And we are chasing this question. How is it that we often get intimacy all wrong? And I'll tell you that, as a matter of fact, this is what I'm talking about. When you have the commitment to excellence, right? When you are ready to go in at all costs, right? You figure it out, because can't nobody stop you from being great. And I'm telling you, like I said, I know it may appear we got technical difficulty with Rico, but I just talked to him, right? And I'm telling you, we're about to figure it out right now. We're about to figure it out. So, but anyway, like I say, last show episode, we had someone on from Ghana. We had a young lady on from Iran, and individuals all over the world are looking for opportunities to be heard, and searching for the answers to how do we begin to have meaningful relationships. And you all know we looked at the statistics last time, and we saw that one out of every five marriages, one out of every five couples are in a sexless marriage, right? And we know that the divorce lion is roaming around seeking whom he can devour, or which marriage he can devour. And the U.S. statistics is about 40-50%, right? And here we go right here. Hold on. Rico.
Rico, yeah, I can hear you. I don't think you can hear me. So.
Hey, listen, no, I don't know what's going on, but I got you on speaker, and we're gonna take it right here.
Okay, all right.
Great. And so go ahead and take me off the mic. You can go ahead and disengage. There you go. Perfect.
All right. Can you hear me fine?
I can hear you fine. And you are live. And you can probably hear us through the sound,
yeah,
too.
I can hear you good. Man, listen, first of all, I apologize for whatever technical deficit we're experiencing here. But
Rico, you have your mic on, because you're getting that feedback. It's coming back.
Okay, how about that? Is that better?
Say something again.
Is that better?
Okay, you still have the podcast on.
Okay, let me find something else.
Is that better?
How's that? Is that better?
Oh, that's awesome. We're alive and in color. And here's the thing, Rico. You don't have to apologize, right? Because here's the thing, right? I know that I'm in the right space. And because I'm in the right space, there are forces that are trying to interrupt this process, right? And this is why we have the technical difficulties. I was on the phone with a couple married 26 years, right? And he and I, we went to high school together, and he had but it was a while before he had since he had been vulnerable with his wife. And just in that midst of us getting ready to do that, the podcast just shut down, right?
Wow.
Right, but I got him back on, and yeah. And he talked to his wife, and right before I'm gonna upload it, that way you can hear. But what happened was, I told him, I said, hey man, we're gonna reset the clock. Right now, I want you to be vulnerable with your wife right now. And then so she was like, well, I know he loved me, and he don't have to tell me, and this here and that there. I know, da da da. I say, listen, I say, you about to make. And I told her to her face, you are about to get horny right now. I say, listen, I need you to go ahead and be vulnerable with her right now. The stuff that you put on Facebook, I want you to do it to her right now. And yeah, oh yeah. My gosh, Rico, And when you talk about, she was like, "Oh my gosh," I'm like, "How does that make you feel?" You know, when he is vulnerable with you and he's sharing his heart to you, and how does that? It feels great. It makes me feel great, and it was just amazing. And so, a little bit about myself. I was married 22 years. I did not expect to be on this side of divorce. And so what happened for me was that my ex-wife, she started having an affair, and I was in Okinawa, Japan at the time, and the guy was, he would come to my house, and I would see him coming in and out of my house, you know, weekend after weekend and stuff like that. And my ex-wife and I, we would have conversations about this, and I'm like, this is, you know, can you stop it? Because it hurt. I need you to stop it. And so she's like, "Well, we can end the relationship whenever you want to." Right. And so I'm like, "No, I don't want to do that. I want to do that. I know I was, you know, I was wrong." And the part that I was wrong about was that I was not emotionally available. You know, I grew up in a drug house. I went into the military. You know, my dad was shot when I was in sixth grade. So in seventh grade, I moved in with him. He decided to sell drugs as a quadriplegic. So who do you think was bagging up dope, pushing it through the mailbox? Who do you think was in the room with him when a guy kicked the door, shoots my uncle, and robs us at gunpoint? I'm in there, right? So I get no therapy from that point. I get no therapy from the point that my dad was shot. You know, I get no therapy in those moments. Then I go right into the military and with no therapy. Fast forward 8 years from there, I'm married, right? And since then, you know, I'm want to do the right thing. I'm excited. I'm loving her, and this is like a really great woman I met, and this is gonna be fantastic. The problem is that I had not been given permission to feel since I was in kindergarten. So when it came to that being emotionally available, I did the numbers, you know, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, just twice a month just twice a month, I wasn't emotionally available, or I didn't share, or I wasn't, whatever it was, you know, even when we looked at sex, right? You know, she came up short, like just twice a month. And I was like, man, that's 480 times out of 20 years, twice a month, because 10 times is 240, you know, 15 is 360, right? And that's what happened right now. I look at those moments that, you know, the mom, dad, you know, we fly from Japan, and I'm going to stop right here in the video, because I can go on and on and on about how I allowed this to go on. Right. Yeah. Because I was honest with myself, like I made her cry when her mom died. Because I thought it was a great idea for me to, since we've flown from Japan for her mom's funeral, that I go and see my mom. Right? Just and she, you know, so the point is that I was willing to reconcile the books in order to save my marriage, right?
Yeah.
But at that point, she was already gone, right? And I saw this guy going in and out of my house, right? And she tells me this story about the time that she, because she's working on a PhD at this particular point. And she had gone from no degree to PhD. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. And so she has done some great stuff, right? And so I'm there helping her get all the way to PhD, right? And so she tells me that, you know, she's working on her stuff, and this guy takes her away from her computer and takes her upstairs, and they go and make love, right? And I said, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Are you serious?" And it wasn't the fact that he did that to her. The fact of the matter was that for 20 years, right, I didn't know that I could have done that. There were months, there were nights, there were days. I'm just laying on the couch, you know. I'm in the kitchen cooking food.
They didn't make love. They had sex.
They had, regardless of what you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
No. They made love because that's how she felt. That's how she felt.
That's how she felt. Okay.
That's how she felt, right? Because she would light up on him, but that's what she told me. So anyway, we call it what it is, right? They had a passionate moment. You can call it what you want. You can call it what you want. But my point of it is that I didn't know that I could have done that.
Yeah, I got you.
And so I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. And so I'm like, oh my, but I'd gone from E1 to Lieutenant Commander. But so my point is, girls doing well. I'm like, okay, had a daughter graduate from Morgan State, you know. So my thing is that we traveled all over the world. I was winning, and nobody could get to me.
Yeah.
Right, because I was locked in on being a provider. And I was doing it great. I was like, here, you got my whole check. Just give me, you know, give me $700 or give me my allowance and you can go ahead and keep the other $10,000. You can keep the $10,000 for the month. Just give me $700 and then I'm good. Right? My point was that I was providing. I was locked in. I was doing it great. And then I came across, I started studying intimacy, studying Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I saw that there was more to me than just being a provider.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And absolutely. I said, oh my gosh. And then I saw that there was this safe space in Maslow's hierarchy of needs that nobody talked about, that I did not have. And if you do not have a safe space, you cannot skip to get that in order to experience a sense of loving and belonging. You can't skip. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I learned that my ex-wife had, you know, a woman has 14 arousal zones. And I'm like, what? I'm like, oh my gosh. And the biggest one is her brain, right? You know, I'm looking back to days when she wanted me to rub her feet, not realize that feet, toes are arousal zones, that I could have just, oh my gosh, had an amazing moment that each day she came home, but it was a chore for me. I didn't know, right? And this is what happened. I said, you know what? I'm doing it, my intimacy consulting, because I know there are guys who don't know, because I'm there in the conversation and they lying. Right? Because we have not been given permission to feel. And you know, we have black men who have the highest number of sexual partners. Out of all races, black men have the highest number. And I'm like, well, bro, you got the higher number, but well, how many repeat customers do you have? Okay, I got it, because none of them are you aren't pleasing them, because only 6%. You know, again, I'm looking at the numbers, only 6% of, there was a study of 555 women, and I'm about to stop right here, right? 555 women, and they asked them, what is the easiest way for you to experience an orgasm? And only 6% of them said straight penetration. Only 6%. I'm like, you know what? My wife was not in that 6%. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I didn't even ask her. Because she came to me to talk to me about it. But because that required more emotional depth and vulnerability, I froze up in that moment. And then I lashed out like, well, I'm saying, if you tell, you know, there's a guy who's better than me, then why you with me? Why ain't you, if you told me, if you've had this before, how did you leave him if it was all that good? So, And now I'm like, dude, bro, I got to sound the alarm. I got to make sure that guys know that you can turn on happiness. You can turn on a smile. You can be excited when your wife come in. And if you're not exchanging or providing a safe space for your wife, and this is the other thing that I found out too, Rico, is that I did not have a safe space in my marriage. I didn't feel like I could tell my truth and my truth be final. And so as a result, I was winging it. And I didn't know, but now I know. Listen, I gotta say, I'm getting a safe space, so I'm going home, lock the door, and put on two pairs of socks, and I'm gonna be feeling good. So, all right, Rico, that's enough of me, man. Go on, talk to me, man. Little bit about yourself, man. Go ahead, Rico, talk to me.
Well, let me say thank you for giving me the invitation to join you tonight. I appreciate that immensely. Mm-hmm. Rico Sharp is my name, and I'm 53. I got three kids, grandchild. Mm-hmm. I'm married for 32 years, coming up in May. Was with this lady that I'm married to, my wife, 3 years before marriage. Mm-hmm. So we got a total of 35 years invested into each other.
Mm-hmm.
I came home from prison. And on November 3rd, 1995,
mm-hmm.
I made my mind up that I was going to be a one woman man.
Mm.
I was that player, and I thought I understood relationship and intimacy because I had multiple women, like you were talking about. But I married her. And the night after I got out of prison, I went three times, but I got out in 92, married her in 92, then I went back again in 93 and came back in 95 and said, I'm going to be into this one woman. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to spread myself thin by trying to be intimate and be relational with multiple women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give all of me to one woman, which is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've done. So we're on a very, very powerful subject. I'm also a pastor. I've been pastoring for almost 30 years. I'm a motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing that for 32 years, and I'm a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
and an entrepreneur. I teach a lot on intimacy. I teach a lot on marriage and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
All of the above.
Right. Uh-huh.
As a deal with the male and the female part. Mm-hmm.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so this is one of those subjects, as you were saying, that a lot of people get wrong, because oftentimes men equate intimacy with sex. But intimacy is a whole lot more than that. Actually, intimacy, the word intimacy comes from this root word, intima.
Mm-hmm.
And the word intima has nothing to do with sex at all. Actually, it has more so to do with organs and veins,
mm-hmm.
and arteries in our body,
mm-hmm.
which really represents a flow.
Mm.
So intimacy really represents the flow within, that the, which flows
the
within,
flow within. Right? And what is flowing?
Yeah, well, so that's a good question. So what flows within has to be interest. Passion, understanding, oneness, connections. It's almost like a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a virtue that flows out of us into our spouse, mm-hmm. or out of us into our partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a caressing that flows out of us into our partner. It's a oneness that flows out of us into our partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding that flows out of us into our partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's dialogue that flows out of us into our partner. It's funness that flows out of us into our partner. So all of these attributes, all of these ingredients and nutrients, it flows out of us into our partner. So the moment we begin to spend time and caress and communicate and talk and touch our partner, we are commanding a release from ourselves into her. That's what gets her cranked up and aroused, because we begin early on, prior to the sex part, the lovemaking part. We begin early on pouring and flowing into one another.
Mm-hmm.
So intimacy flows out of me into her, from out of her into me.
Mm-hmm.
And we create this harmonical balance between ourselves.
Harmonical balance. Mm-hmm.
It we harmonize with each other. It, mm-hmm. It's just like when a man and a woman see each other, they meet each other for the first time, that man is giving all he has to give to that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's receiving and reciprocating, because the two of them have a mutual interest. They like each other. They see they have an interest in each other. You know, they connect with each other, and they're both trying to meet each other on that level that can cause for that moment in time to become sealed in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
to become consummated
yes.
in a relationship. So it's just like our arteries and our veins, they're there for what? For one purpose, and that is for the flow, right? For the blood that flows through. And the intimacy, when it's at its best,
mm-hmm.
is flowing from one person to the other. It's almost like an electrical charge that's flowing back and forth, that's mm-hmm. stimulating each person,
mm-hmm.
that's causing for us to get aroused, that's causing for us to want to go to the next level, to want to get deeper, to want to get closer, to want to get more involved, to want to become more expressive. Mm-hmm. And so when a man and a woman meets each other, the thing that causes for them to want to take their relationship or that connection to the next level
mm-hmm.
is the fact that intimacy has already been interjected in that dialogue. Mm. Intimacy begins immediately. Sometimes it leads to sex. Other times it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But when we connect with the person and we're giving them what we have inside, we're releasing our energy into them. They're releasing their energy into us. And it's creating a flow back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Virtue is pouring out. Love is pouring out. Mm-hmm. Passion is pouring out. It's just flowing back and forth. And that's what real intimacy is. You can jump into bed and have sex and have no intimacy.
Right.
But you could, and then all you got is sex. But when you got intimacy involved, and intimacy goes before sex or happens before sex, now you got love making, not because it's passionate, right?
Right.
You're connected on a level where you're feeling each other energy, and you're bouncing the energy back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're engaged in intimacy on that level, the man makes love making about her, and the woman makes love making about him.
Right.
See, it's not that the man is going into it wondering, you know, how I can please me.
Mm-hmm.
He's going into it with his mind on how I'm going to make her feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes into it not with how I'm going to get pleased, but how I'm going to please him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when you got two people that come together on a genuine basis.
Right.
And they begin to involve in intimacy through their flow of passion for one another. So it's another definition for the word intimacy is something of a personal or private nature.
Okay.
So intimacy is personal. And mm-hmm. it becomes so personal that it goes from being personal to being private. And that's what it has to be if you're going to have a healthy relationship. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I talk with groups. Sometimes mm-hmm. I do marriage counseling, and I talk about relationships
mm-hmm.
and how intimacy must be on that ship or in that ship in order for that ship to sail. So, for example, relationship is a ship. Friendship is a ship. Courtship
mm-hmm.
is a ship. You got right. more ships like stewardships and fellowships and partnerships. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But in order for that ship to sail and not sink, you got to have intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because intimacy is what causes for the ship to sail. Ship doesn't sail because of sex. In other words, if all you got is sex, you're not going anywhere.
Whoa.
Intimacy is an adhesive
that keeps
the relationship together. And what happens oftentimes is when we get involved and these ships, these relationships, these partnerships,
mm-hmm.
these courtships, these mm-hmm. friendships,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have intimacy, then we don't have respect for one another. We don't know how to read one another and
mm-hmm.
pick up each other's frequency.
Right.
We're not tuned in to each other's channel. Therefore, we miss one another, and that relationship falls apart
mm-hmm.
because it takes more than sex to keep a ship sailing.
Right, absolutely. All right, so here we go, Rico, Pastor. I'm gonna call you Pastor, so you can make sure I give a brother due. First,
Rico.
All right, Rico, I got you, Rico. So let me tell you this. First of all, I want to just tell you how proud of you. I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you for changing on the spot, going to prison three times and then making a commitment at 19.
Exactly.
20 years old, making a decision that, you know what, this is not the way. And I'm not going to hurt another woman again.
Yeah.
And making that decision, although your past was still following you, you processed all of your past and allowed that to, you know, again, going back into prison, you know, for the third time. That's because, you know, past, they still, you know, want you in the prison system, because that's how America makes money, is through putting black people in jail. So and they needed you. For me, in 91, I left Chicago right out of high school. I knew that I was tracking for prison. I had a 1.9 GPA. But my point of it is this: I'm just saying, I'm proud of you, man, for just turning your life around, being a consistent brother with your wife, and taking on the responsibility as a pastor to be a beacon of light and hope in your community. And I just want, man, let me see something real quick. I think we got something right here. We do this here. We're going to give him some, what do we give him? We're going to give him some claps, right? Some claps. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it for Rico right there. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So on Intimate Discoveries, one of the things that we do is we provide a definition, a working definition for individuals who understand what intimacy is, right? And then here it is. Intimacy is defined as the level of commitment and positive, affective, cognitive, and physical closeness one experiences with a partner in a reciprocal relationship.
Exactly.
I'll say it again. Intimacy is defined as the level of commitment, positive, affective, cognitive, and physical closeness that one experiences. You got to experience this positive, affective, cognitive, and this physical closeness that you experience with the partner in a reciprocal relationship. And one of the things that that I was honest with myself was that I was not reciprocated in my marriage.
Yeah.
It was not a consistent, it was not a true reciprocity. And so knowing that, me growing up in the streets, you know, growing up in a drug house, matter of fact, we shorted a guy. My brother and I, my dad was paralyzed, and you know, he would have volumes and prescriptions and stuff like that. So we took the volume, put it in the blender, put in some milk sugar, and made it all brown, look like heroin, and sold it to the guy. And the guy comes back. not true reciprocity.
No,
right?
Let me interject something.
Go ahead.
Right there. So when you take the word intimacy, right? Because I like to analyze everything.
Right. But I get four components. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
I get four components. So there are four variations of intimacy. There's cognitive intimacy, which is just exchanging thoughts with another person on a reciprocal relationship, sharing thoughts. Then there's emotional intimacy, which is sharing feelings, exchanging feelings with a person, which is deeply rooted in the value of self-disclosure. Then there is sexual intimacy, being attracted to another person and choosing to share one's body in the form of physical contact, affection, and sexual activities, right? And then there is spiritual intimacy, which is sharing thoughts and feelings regarding religion and morality.
That's good. I like
right?
that.
Right. Those are the four variations of intimacy. And the lowest level of intimacy is cognitive intimacy. Just having the ability to share thoughts.
Yeah.
That's good. In a reciprocal relationship. And so when you're talking about, you know, well, we have a communication problem. No, you have a commitment problem.
Yeah.
You're not committed to this intimate relationship. And so what you have done, you have violated the principles of intimacy. And in the streets, when you break a rule, there's a violation. And you get punished immediately. There are immediate consequences when you don't follow the rules in the streets. Are you serious? And so when we're in, and I can say for me, this is what I had to do. I had to be honest with myself that I didn't reciprocate. And now we have this definition. I'm like, oh my gosh. So you were getting ready to say something, Rico? I'm listening.
Yeah. So you take the word intimacy. And you just broke it down, and I'm gonna break it down too. So take the word intimacy, and mm-hmm. let's just correlate it for a moment to these words right here. N I N two T O me M E C S E E
right.
Intimacy. So true intimacy is transparency with your spouse, right?
Right.
You being able to look into me internally and seeing who I am. And I'm being able to look into you and seeing who you are for who you are and loving you
right.
for who you are and accepting you for who you are. Like the good, the bad, the indifference, everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love your mind, I love your brain, I love your heart, I love your soul, I love your breasts, I love your hips, I love every part of you. I love all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I see you for who you are. And so oftentimes, what we fail to do in our relationships, if we fail to communicate how we want to be loved and how we need to be loved, because especially with guys, you know, we come from one woman and we look up with another one and we think we know how to love that woman and
mm-hmm.
we love that woman the way we love the last woman.
Right.
And we've not really allowed for that woman to show us how she wants to be loved, because we think we know how to love somebody. You know, it's male pride.
Right, right.
We think we know how to treat a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes our relationships don't last because we fail to love that woman the way she needs to be loved, because we fail to look into her and to see her for who she is.
Well,
and know that she's Cynthia. She's mm-hmm. not Sally.
Right.
She's Bridget. She's
right.
Not Angie. And
right.
You can't love Bridget the way you love Angie.
And you're absolutely right.
Bridget was raised totally different. She has different morals. She has different standards. She has a whole different level of esteem. She has a whole different character. She has a whole different personality.
Mm-hmm.
She got different values in her life. You have to love her the way that she needs to be loved and want to be loved. But in order for me to love her like that, she's got to give me transparency of who she is and allow for me to see into her. And I have to yield that back to her and allow for her to see into me.
And how does that happen, though?
It happens through vulnerability.
Vulnerability. Okay, come on.
You got to get butt naked before we talk.
Well, the thing is that here this is where this is this podcast and what I do is so important.
Yeah.
Because if you cannot exchange if you cannot exchange on a cognitive level.
Absolutely.
If you have not provided a safe space, and again, when you talk to the people at your church, when next time you have a counseling session, you have to ask them, is there a safe place for you to say something?
Exactly.
If there is not a safe space for you to say something, for you to tell your truth, and she not try and fix it, and he not try and fix it, because here's the thing when I tell them, Pastor, you weren't there when it happened.
Yes.
You can't tell me that you'd have been strong and you'd have just left the place with seven butt naked women in there. And all of them looking good and the long hair, and one just came right out of the shower and then she got the curly hair with the lipstick and all that. You can't tell me that you'd have walked out too.
Right.
So don't give me that.
Yeah.
My point is that we have to give that safe space where each other can be vulnerable and tell their truth and their truth.
Like going to the doctor. When you're hurting or you got something going on with your body physically and it's hurting you, it's affecting your health, it's affecting your mobility, you're in pain, you can't go to that doctor and lie. Even if your problem is in a sensitive area, if it's in a genital area, if it's in an area where you feel like your privacy is being exploited or your privacy is being invaded, you got to put all that aside. You got to walk into that doctor's office and you got to be willing to tell him exactly or her exactly how you feel. And you got to be willing to strip down butt naked. And let them see parts that you don't show everybody every day. And that's what intimacy is between a man and a woman. You got to be willing to get up on that table and say, this is who I, this is what I look like up under all of my makeup, up under all of my success, up under all of my facade. This is what I look like when I take everything off.
Right.
And I'm vulnerable and I'm butt naked. I make myself available to you in the redness and the rawness of who I am.
Right.
And that's where the intimacy comes in. Into me, see.
Into me, see.
See my strength.
Right.
See my weaknesses. See my fears.
And it be okay.
And I'm okay with that.
And
because I chose you the way you are. It's like God is with us. He chose us the way we are. And so when you meet somebody, you choose them the way they are. You can't fix them. You can't change them.
Right.
You bring your flaws, they bring their flaws.
Hold on, Pastor. When we talk about flaws, right? Tell me, then you've been married 36 years, right? Right? 32. You married 32 years, right?
Yeah.
So tell me, watch this here, Pastor. Watch this here, Rico. Tell me three things that your wife in 32 years that she told you that was wrong. Three.
Yeah. Number one, something I said to her.
No. Not something that you said to her. That she said, you know, Rico, if you go, I need you to go and do X, Y, and Z. And then you get there and it was wrong. She was totally wrong.
Oh, she was wrong. Okay, I got you. Yeah.
I'm listening. Three things in 32 years.
That she said to me to go do and I got there and it was wrong.
It was wrong.
Yeah. So
I'm listening.
Yeah. So one particular time.
Okay, we got one.
One particular time in our marriage, she wanted me to go and meet somebody at the church that had called and left a message. And she gave me a rundown from talking to that person of what the meeting was supposed to be about.
Right.
And I needed to know the information, X, Y, Z.
Right.
So that when I got there, I would be prepared.
Right.
And when I got there, the information that was conveyed to me was totally irrelevant to what the meeting would be about.
Right. And so the person who gave the information to you, but the thing is, here's the thing right here, Rico, right? Your wife was in total honesty about the information that she received.
Exactly.
Right.
The information we're giving to her was misconstrued.
So she delivered the mail that was given to her. Okay, so we're gonna line that one off. Okay, now she's still zero. She's still 0 for 32. I'm listening. Come on.
Let's see here.
Perfect. All right, good to go. If you have them right off the bat, then they don't count.
Yeah.
No, but my point of it is when this is the thing, when it comes to your wife and her interacting with you, she has no flaws.
None that is at the point where
no. I'm. It will what? I'm.
I'm listening.
Not that would break our marriage.
No. What I'm saying is that when it comes to delivering the information to Rico and being consistent with Rico, she has no flaws. Okay, so now, how are we talking about, you know, a person coming to a relationship with flaws when it comes to your wife that you've been married to 32 years, that you came right off the prison, and she, right, watch this, has in 32 years have not, when it came to Rico, has not presented a flaw.
Yeah, I got you. I agree.
And this is my point, right? Because when we're in relationships, right, we're looking for things to get upset about.
Right.
We're looking for things. We're looking for wrong things, and we're finding them. And when all actuality, if you sat there and you gave your partner credit that when it comes to my wife, my God, this chick has a We just went over it. Over 32. 32 and 0. Undefeated. She like Mayweather.
Exactly.
And I'm you going to tell me that she has to touch a door? She I'm talking about this woman is 32 and 0. When it comes to flaws, when it comes to delivering, when it talking about consistency, right? When it talk about being vulnerable, being authentic, being honest, and giving you the business and making sure that you're in a position for success. 32 and 0, brother. What I say is, if she's around you, you can get off this podcast and you like, baby, thank you. Because I'm talking about the champ is here. The queen is here.
Yeah, that's strong.
The queen is here. You number 32 and 0. Who listen, the next time you listen. All right, if you're not, and this is what I'm gonna help you, right? So you like, hey, listen, are you in your best space? Cause this one here, 32 and 0, you need to make sure that she is in her best space. Yeah. Because when she's in her best space, she's prone to be 37 and 0. She's not taking an L when it comes to Rico.
Yeah.
So now when it comes to reciprocity, we got to look at Rico's record.
Yeah.
And this is what I had to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I may interject.
Go ahead. Come on, Rico. Talk to me.
That's a very good point, man. I'm glad you brought that out. One of the things that I've learned about being in a relationship with my wife, my partner, being on the ship with my partner and having intimacy, is intimacy allows for us to see each other's vulnerabilities and to cover that area of vulnerability so that we can actually complement that area. So in other words, where I might need like working on or be imperfected, she's perfected in that area. And her perfection is perfecting my imperfection. Oh. And where she may have an imperfection, my perfection covers her in that area. So my perfection perfects her imperfection.
Right.
And we complement each other.
Right. So let me ask you this here. Who determines whether there's an imperfection?
Well, we know.
No. Who determines?
We know that there are times in our marriage where sometimes things don't always go according to plan. They're not necessarily characterized as imperfections when we're discussing and when we're working on things. But if I'm conveying it to other people that thinks that this is why they can't build because they're dealing with too many imperfections, I'm trying to help them to understand your imperfections are really not imperfections, because if they were, then you would be dealing with the results and the consequences, right, by yourself.
Right.
But the fact that you got a spouse that is there with you to cover you in that area,
right.
Your imperfections are not really manifesting as imperfection. They might be vulnerabilities, but that's what your spouse is there for, to help you cover that area, to perfect that area, to strengthen that area, so that you don't have to deal with the consequences of imperfections.
Okay, so but the question again is, who determines whether there's an imperfection? Who determines that? Because here's the thing, right? One of the things that I've learned, right, that I'm not perfect, right?
Yeah.
I'm not perfect. However, I can get in the 90s. I can get in the 90s easily. I can get in the 90s when it, especially, huh?
You say you're speaking of percentage wise.
I'm talking percentage wise, absolutely, because 100 is perfect.
100 is perfect, right? Right. So in the relationship, we don't address each other about perfections and imperfections. It's just that when you're living the Christian life, you got a Bible that you use as a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you to identify areas that you need to strengthen, areas that you need to work on. And so, but when we're in our relationship and we're in our marriage, we don't allow ourselves to point out faults or flaws or imperfections. We discuss where we are with the plan to get to where we want it to be.
And where is that? Where are we trying to get to?
We're trying to get to the point where we can always remain harmonized at all times, unified at all times. And that is, and you're talking about being at 99.5%, which is an A+.
Right.
Which is what we are. Trying to go from 99.5% to 100%.
No, we only God is perfect.
Exactly.
So you're not, you, there's some, but my point.
We strive for it, though. That's how we climb our percentage. We strive for it.
But the thing is that, go ahead.
For example, my wife and I, we made an agreement with each other,
mm-hmm.
that we will not bring up past, like, situations to try to make a present point.
Okay.
And we're not going to fuss or argue today about something that happened yesterday. And then once we perfected that, we say, okay, now we're not going to bring up anything from this morning to make a point today. If there's something that, or this afternoon, if there's something that we need to discuss,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to discuss it in the moment. But if we don't discuss it in the moment, we're not going to table it and come back to it later,
mm-hmm.
because we're not going to use our energy that we have for the moment,
mm-hmm.
by digging in the past and trying to make a valid point that we've already walked away from.
Mm-hmm. And we know that those points are either done or you can't touch them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Okay. So I want to go back to this idea of being vulnerable and allowing your partner, when they're vulnerable, right? And you gave an example about going to the doctor, right?
Yeah.
And telling the doctor about what your problems are, right?
Yeah.
We're gonna now go from the doctor's office to go to the dentist, right? And here's where vulnerability happens, right?
Okay.
That you're sitting there and you tell the doc, "Hey doc, you know I haven't flossed in like I haven't been flossing day to day like I'm supposed to. As a matter of fact, I'm still dipping." And matter of fact, before I dipped, I came here, I've been chewing tobacco and all this other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And that I'm working on it. I know I'm addicted, you know, to tobacco, and this is why I need help. And so if you can help me to get this thing here, This is going to, I think this will be help improve my dental hygiene, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, right? You got a dental appointment on Tuesday and you start brushing and flossing on Sunday night. And you come into the dental appointment and you thinking that those 3 days of flossing is going to make a difference. And instead, you come in and the dentist already know, he can look at your teeth and tell that you haven't been flossing.
Right.
He can look at you and tell that you got dip, right? You got plaque on the bottom gums, on the bottom where your gums and your teeth meet. There's plaque there because you haven't been angling the toothbrush down enough to get down in there. This is vulnerability.
Exactly.
Telling him in the dentist's office before you open your mouth. Watch this. You open your heart. Vulnerability is that before you open your mouth, you open your heart. And you be honest.
Exactly. That's good. That's good. That's a very good point.
And so again, the doc, you know, he got to run. The doc got to run tests on you. He got to go to the lab. You got to get blood. You may not even go down and get the blood work done or whatever. But the dentist is right there. He looking at you. He looking at your teeth. We got pull four of these. I had somebody tell me they pull four perfectly good teeth. Well, you know you know she had teeth in her mouth, right? She yeah, the dentist they pulled poor perfectly good teeth. No, they did not. Them teeth were bad.
They were perfectly good teeth, they wouldn't have been poor.
Right. But yeah, and that's the thing, man. That's the excitement that we bring to the podcast, is helping individuals to know that when it comes to emotional intimacy, right? So we got cognitive intimacy. Are you familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Say it again.
Are you familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right, I'm going to send you something, right? Because Maslow has his hierarchy of needs. And so the bottom need is physiological, which is food, water, shelter, warm. And then there's this safety need, the need to feel safe. And then from there, after the food, water, shelter, and warmth, then there's a need of feeling of loving and belonging that you cannot skip. If there's not a safety need where you can be vulnerable, right? Then you cannot experience a sense of loving and belonging. Now, once these three needs have been fulfilled and they're consistent, they're locked in, which is why society works really hard to disrupt Black people's those three basic needs. Prison, financial, you know, literacy, or, you know, welfare programs, all those different things, you know, putting you in a gang infested area, or having you in a food desert. All those are ways to disrupt those basic needs: food, water, shelter, safety, and then the feeling of loving and belonging. When those all are fulfilled, then there's this esteem need, that you feel good about yourself, right? And then there's self-actualization, which is the top one, where creative activities go, where you can just go and explore and do great things about yourself, right? So what I did was I took cognitive intimacy and I put it at the bottom, where the physiological needs, food, water, shelter, warmth, and the safety need is, where you got to exchange thoughts down there on the cognitive level. And then where it comes to the feeling of loving and belonging, that is where the emotional intimacy rests. And then above there is this sexual intimacy. And so, if you're not fulfilling this safety need, right, And that vulnerability does not go in a reciprocal fashion, in a reciprocal relationship, right? And you end up skipping to sexual intimacy. You run the risk of having unfulfilled sexual experiences because there's no connection.
Exactly. That's very good.
Right. And so the problem that I dealt with, that I overcame, was that because we as men are not given permission to feel from a young age of 6, 4, 9 or whatever age it was. I know for me, I was in kindergarten. Mine started in kindergarten. And so we lack the emotional vocabulary that is required to be committed to reciprocity at the emotional exchange. And so because we don't have the emotional vocabulary to be able to exchange when our wives come to us feeling insignificant, because you can never tell anybody you were scared, right? And insignificant is a tertiary feeling of scared, insignificant. So when your wife comes to you and she's talking about something that's helping her feel insignificant, what happens, and what happened for me, was the operator says, "Sir, that call does not go through. You don't have a connection. You don't have a portal for feeling insignificant to pass through." When it came to her feeling irritated, skeptical, you know, about something, you're like, "Oh, I don't want you to talk about that stuff. Oh my God, the thing is, the reason why you don't want to talk about it, because you can't make a connection.
That's good, man.
You can't make a connection. Sorry, sir. I'm sorry that call does not go through."
Yeah.
When it comes to feeling inadequate or miserable, or she feeling stupid or bashful, right? Or she was just feeling inferior, right? Because you never been able to go and tell anybody you were sad. You couldn't push through and tell anybody you felt guilty. And so when she's coming, you talking about, you know, I told my girlfriend I was going to be there, and then all of a sudden I came home to be with you, and she really needed me to be there, and I'm feeling guilty that I knew I could have been there for her, because I'm sitting there just chilling with you. But because you've never told anybody you felt guilty, because you couldn't say you felt sad for that, you felt you let your friend down. Now you're like, "Oh man, the hell with it, man. He'll be all right." No.
Yeah.
You felt guilty because you never assigned an experience to being guilty. Sir, I'm sorry, that call does not go through. Please go to a space where you can get those things energized and charged, because the next time that moment comes up, then we can make a connection. You need a 417 connector to go on to that part where you're looking at, so we can make the adjustments and we can actually make that connection. Right now, sir, you don't have that available, so you can't tell him. We can't make that connection. Please come back next week, sir, and we can probably, you know, hopefully we can make those connections. And because you don't have those connections, watch this, reciprocity does not happen.
That's great. That's a good point. That's a good point. Because without a connection, you can't reciprocate.
You cannot reciprocate. And if you don't have it in your pocket, if you don't have it on your tool belt, you don't have that experience logged in.
Yeah.
You can't, because the thing is, like you said, into me see, you got to go down on the inside and show something, present something in a positive way.
Yes, sir.
And make the connection. And the thing is that, remember what we talked about at the beginning, that intimacy is a what? It's a level of commitment.
Yes, sir.
It's a level of commitment. And because you're committed, that you're going to go down there and you're going to find something. Because you got to reciprocate. Because in the streets, if you don't reciprocate, you die. Like I tell, man, if I treated a drug dealer the way I treated my wife, I'd be dead right now.
Wow.
Well. Because I came up short a whole bunch of times. And then the thing is that most men, I tell them, you are the thing that's most frustrating is that you get missing assignments and you walk around with your chest all puffed out.
Man, intimacy is the adhesive, it's the glue, the bond that keeps us together,
mm-hmm.
that allows for us to weather difficult times. There are times in life
mm-hmm.
that can separate us. And you could be separated without being separated. You could be separated without being divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You could be separated and still live in the same house.
Right.
But when you're closely knitted together, which is what intimacy does, you don't draw apart during difficult times. You draw closer together. That's what intimacy does. My wife and I, we've experienced, as every other marriage,
mm-hmm.
every other relationship, we've experienced some difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
Times that we could have allowed to separate us.
Mm-hmm.
But through our intimacy, we drew closer during those times.
Right, right. So let's go back. Can we change that word from intimacy to commitment?
That's exactly what it is.
Our commitment to vulnerability, our commitment to making sure that I provide a safe space for my partner,
and our commitment to one another,
and it's our commitment,
yeah,
our commitment, yeah, to reciprocity,
yeah, that's what it is. That's
exactly what it is. It's our commitment to reciprocity, because I know that I need to be, that I'm in an intimate relationship with my husband. And I need to be prepared to reciprocate.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Man, this is a good podcast. If there's anybody out there listening, you have gotten a wealth of information, aspiration and motivation that will help you to be able to go into a relationship or to enhance the relationship that you're in. Stuff like this and this kind of information that is being shared tonight, you have to pay for this in a counseling session, or you have to pay for this through therapy. But you're getting it here tonight. And champ,
yes,
you're responsible for helping a lot of people to survive unsurvivable circumstances and situations. So my hat goes off to you and the things that you are doing to strengthen relationships and strengthen men and women all over the world, all over the globe. Mm-hmm. Thank you for building this platform and for giving people like me an opportunity to come and echo some things that needs to be heard again and again. And even in your own relationship, your own marriage, you never thought that you would end up on this side of divorce, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
You pay the price to be able to have this platform and to be able to share. I had a good friend of mine who passed away. His name was Dr. Zachary Tim. He pastored a church in Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And before he passed away, it was an 8,000-member church.
Mm-hmm.
Before he passed away, there was some infidelity in his marriage. And it was on his part, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife and this guy, she was going to divorce him.
Mm-hmm.
And so after he went through divorce and, you know, he still kept this church, he scheduled a marriage conference. And he invited my wife and I to come speak
mm-hmm.
as guest speakers at his marriage conference. And he himself was one of the speakers. And so one of the guys that were there with his wife stood up and said, "I don't think that you being now divorced
mm-hmm.
single,
right,
to be able to counsel
mm-hmm.
or advise anybody who is married and that your marriage did not survive.
Right.
And it's, and he said, Dr. Zachary Tim said, in a very wise and soft-spoken voice, he pointed me out and he said, Rico and Dana, they're here. You can learn from them about what to do to keep your marriage going.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but for me, you can learn from me of what not to do
to
keep your marriage going.
Right.
And so you're in this situation where your divorce, which 22 years is a very long time for
right.
marriage to last. That's in the 70% range.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But
thank you.
Now on the other side, now you got an experience and a knowledge that even exceeds what I have. Because you've not only been married for a long time and got experience from that, but now you got the experience from having went through a divorce, and now you can pour into people who are single, who are married, and those who are divorced. And so I commend you for still having the heart and the passion to be able to take the scars and the bruises and the experience and everything that you've gone through and still say, but I'm going to help somebody else to overcome what I went through or to avoid what I went through. When you're talking about intimacy, man, you're speaking on a subject that a lot of guys, men, we don't understand that language.
Mm-hmm.
That's a foreign language to us. In fact, in most households in the African-American community, that word was never even spoken before.
Right.
Never even spoken. And of course, we didn't hear about it unless we heard about it on the podcast or in a marriage session. We don't hear about it in school. We don't hear about it necessarily in church.
Right.
We don't hear about it in the home. We only learn about it actually when it's like too late, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody trying to repair what has been damaged. But you're taking the opportunity and you're committing your time and your resources to help those that are listening now and those that will listen hereafter to understand that as a male, as a man, we got to get past our male pride and invite this powerful flow, this force called intimacy into our relationship and allow for the definition of intimacy to be conveyed as a commitment to your spouse, a commitment to your partner, that no matter what comes our way, we're here for one another. I got your back. You got my back. And in doing that, you can survive. And I don't know if your plans, Franklin, if is ever to marry again or not, because we haven't discussed that.
Right.
But I do believe this right here, that provided that happens, the woman that comes into your life, man, she's going to be treated like a queen. She's going to be looking at you like, where have you been all of my life? I'm telling you, bro.
Yes,
you're paying the price.
Yes.
And you're growing.
Yes.
You're learning. And you're mastering these components that it takes. It takes a man to say, my marriage failed, and this is the reason why it failed. I should have done things differently. I could have done things differently, and I would have done things differently had I known better at the time.
Right.
But you're like in the typical common situation when you were going through that with your marriage, because most men feel like, especially us, if I'm going to work and I'm bringing home my paycheck and I'm putting it into your hand,
right,
that should suffice. Go get your nails done. Go get your hair done.
Right.
Get a manicure, pedicure, and some barbecue to go along with it.
Right. And that's the thing that I tried to help them to understand, was that my core values did not support having a marriage.
Exactly.
when it came down to, like I say, look at my uncles, right? None of my uncles got married.
Yeah.
When you talking about the shack up family, they shacked up and they did, you know, my dad was kicked out of the Nation of Islam because he tried to marry he married my mama, right? And then he married somebody else. My dad married somebody else and they were like, bruh, no, we're in America. You only have one wife. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But my point of it is, when it comes down to the core values that we are instilled as men, that we are providers and protectors, and that's it. And there was nothing that shared with me that I could trust my wife, because you better not tell her everything. You better, like Steve Harvey say, I got lies, I'm going to go to my grave. What? No, you need...
I remember growing up in the streets. See, I grew up in the street. I was raised by my mom because my dad dipped when I was a little boy. Mm-hmm. And went on and started another family. And so my mom had to raise three sons by herself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get told by my father or my mom that you're going to grow up and you're going to be smart. My dad never told me in the sky. Now, never said that you're going to be somebody. Never said I love you. I didn't get the hugs and
right.
all that kind of stuff.
So
I grew up very callous and cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I just grew up knowing how to survive. I ran away from home at the age of 13, lived on the street, got addicted to cocaine, powder cocaine, and marijuana at the age of 14, and was just in and out of jail and prison. So I grew up in a really cold and callous way.
Right.
So when I got married, I didn't know anything about being a friend to a woman or being intimate or commitment. I didn't know anything about loving her and allowing for her to love me back. All I knew was, let's just have sex.
Right.
If a baby come out, a baby come out, I'm going to pay the bills and take care of the baby. But let's do that. So I remember one particular time that we were walking through the mall, my wife and I, going shopping, because that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I brought the check home, and now we're going shopping, I'm going to get you something like that. and she popped me on my butt one time, just a little gentle pat. And being the masculine guy that I am with male pride, I stopped. I was offended by that.
Mm.
I turned around and I looked at her, and I said, don't do that, especially out here in public. And she looked at me and she said, that's my butt. And I'll touch it again.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it again. And yeah. I got it offended me.
Mm.
But when I looked into her eyes and saw that she was serious, 100% serious,
mm-hmm.
this is what she was going to do. Man, I cringed, I shuddered,
mm-hmm.
but I kept stepping.
Oh, yeah.
And from that moment on, the walls of that callous wall that I had built up over the years of being this basically this young boy in this grown man's body, he began to grow up and develop
mm-hmm.
in that area. And then she grabbed my hand one time. I felt shy about that.
Mm-hmm.
She grabbed my hand and we start walking down the aisle of the mall, holding hands together.
Right.
And that began to break down some of the resistance that I had in my life. And it helped me to understand that when you're in a relationship with a woman, it's okay to be vulnerable. You're in a commitment with your wife, your girlfriend, your partner. It's okay to let your hair down, take your shoes off, and just be into one another. And mm-hmm. let that person see that I got you and you got me.
Absolutely.
And then, it's just the two of y'all. It's y'all two. It's us against the world.
Right.
It's us against the world. And I got you and you got me. And we got each other.
And you've been doing that for 32 years, and now, you getting ready to go deeper now. Now you're getting ready to go deeper because what happens is now we got this reciprocity and this commitment of sharing and being vulnerable, right? And you can just say, and here's, I'm about to give you some pass. I'm about to give you some Rico. So now I'm getting ready to elevate you to being, to experiencing life as an elite dude, right? Because we've already saw that your wife, after 32 years, have not asked you to do something that you cannot do. Right?
Yeah.
She's never asked you to do something that you cannot do.
Yeah.
And so the standard now moving forward, this woman who's 32-0, undefeated, right?
Yeah.
That when it comes to your wife, anything she asks you to do has to be done within 1 hour. Because.
That's solid.
Huh?
That's solid.
Because you already know you can do it.
Right. But she wouldn't ask me to do it if she knew that I couldn't do it.
Because she know that you can do it and you are an elite dude. I'm getting my assignment done within 1 hour, and I'm getting it done the way you want it done.
Yeah.
I'm not, when it comes to the queen, right? I don't have bright ideas unless she does what? Ask.
Yeah. That's right. That's a good point. In fact, that's a very good point. Just right before I came on with you, I was doing something personal on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in the bed lying down. She called me in the room and she said, "Baby, can you fix me something to eat?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, I got this podcast interview mm-hmm. coming up here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on my computer. I wanted to do something real quick before I get off, but you want me to fix you a plate of food? I got you, baby. I'm gonna run in here, and I'm gonna cook you something to eat,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna bring it to you just the way she gave me direct instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Say this is exactly how I want it, and I gave it to her exactly
how I want it. Oh my gosh! And here's the thing, right? You make the dean's list. You make the dean's list, and when you make the dean's list, and your kids come home with them good report cards, what happened?
They get rewarded. Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about, right? Is making a dean's list, right? Because when she comes to you, she's only coming to you, you know, moving forward, right?
Yeah.
Moving forward, she's coming to you to share something.
Yeah.
You got something you want to share? Can I bring you back to your best space? Because listen, I want you in your best space for the rest of my life.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you're not in your best space, you need to call me. Because I'm sharp, I be sharp, I will do sharp, and I am sharp. Because this is Rico Sharp, right? Right?
Exactly.
And so because I'm that elite dude, right? Passing for almost 30 years, right? I'm that elite dude. So my wife calls me, it's going to get done within an hour. So when she calls me, it's done. What we need to do? You hungry? DoorDash. Bam, here it is right here. What do you want, baby?
Yeah.
What is it you need? Come here. What else? Yeah. Is there anything else you need?
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to share right now?
Yeah.
And that's it right there, right?
That's intimacy.
That's intimacy. That's it. That's intimacy. Is there anything you want to share? Is there anything you want? Because baby, I don't know when the next time you're gonna have a safe moment.
Yeah.
Because I when you go out of here, I know folk don't want to listen to you. Do you have anything you want to share right now?
Yeah.
Oh, and if no, I'm good. Okay. Well, when you got something you want to share, you call me.
That's right.
Because I'm that elite. Right. I'm that elite dude.
I'm gonna get it done.
And I tell you, man, you're going to see more. Because they say you go from glory to what?
To glory.
Look out now. But the thing is, and that's that unique, your wife has a you, and you have, the two of you have a unique intimate expression. And vulnerability gives you that space to share.
Yeah.
And being able to provide that non-judgmental environment. Who got flaws in here? Nobody got, what? No, who said what? Somebody, who's in here pointing out flaws? Oh, they need to go.
Yeah.
We ain't got no flaws in here because between the two of us, we know everything.
That's good, man. I've enjoyed this time together.
Mm-hmm. I have too, man.
Yeah.
And we almost like Cat Williams. We not gonna go. I normally have an hour. We had an hour and a half, and so we're gonna go ahead and wrap up, man. Unless you have anything you want to share.
Say one last thing.
Go ahead.
The champ is here.
Oh my gosh.
You're the champ.
Man, hey, listen, and so here's the thing here. Here's my music right here. You can hear it. And I'm telling you, this has been an amazing podcast. I think one of the most energized shows, life fulfilling, informational, transformational podcast to date. I've had Rico, a tremendous man of God, man of character, man of integrity on here, sharing, and we learn from each other. We shared and we imparted with each other. And this is it right here. Man, I'm so glad to be here. I'm glad to be able to love you. And it's just this moment. And here come my music coming in, right? Yeah. He said, let's go. Let's go. Check it out, Rico. Because I'm a champion. A champion. Because I'm a champion. Because I'm a champion. A champion. Hey, we got to go, man. My heart is swell, man. You welcome anytime, man. And here's the thing, too, Rico. When you want me to come out to the church, I got you. Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right, man. Godspeed you too, man. Love you, man. And you're welcome to come back anytime, man. Yes, sir. All right. Out. Yep. The champ is here. And we just transformed lives. Right here, live and in color. Remember to subscribe. Remember to like. Remember to share. Here. And I'm here to stay, never go down. What do you say? Because I'm a champion. I did 30, baby. Travel all over the world. We're from E1 to 04. Come on. And now I'm here to help you to experience meaningful relationships. I tell you, when you expand your emotional vocabulary and you can be able to share and provide a safe space for somebody. And what happens is your heart, your feelings, your emotions begin to connect. Man, this is when life starts right here. This is what I discovered. I want to make sure that you get it. Campus here, baby. Champ is here, and I want you to win too. We are out. We'll see you again on Monday, 8 o'clock. Be here, be square, be live, and be blessed. Yes, the champ is here. And the champ is out. Love y'all. Remember, the sky's the limit. Don't stop on the moon.